Carbon dating, dinosaurs, and rock dating. Start with carbon dating. Carbon dating is used to work out the age of any organic material, in effect, anything that lived. The technique hinges on carbon-14 radioactive dating, which is applicable only to matter once living and presumed to be in balance with the present-day atmosphere, taking carbon dioxide for photosynthesis. Measuring the amount of carbon-14 in an organic sample provides the information that can be used to calculate when the animal or the plant died. The amount of cosmic rays penetrating the Earth's atmosphere affects the amount of carbon-14 produced and the dating system. As the carbon-14 percentage goes down by half, the age of the matter is accepted to increase with 5,730 years. We read in Genesis chapter 1, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. The canopy of waters above the firmament gave a greenhouse effect on earth before the flood. It also shielded the earth and those living on it from the damaging UV and carbon-14 rays. During that time, the carbon-14 radioactive carbon would have been missing or negligible present in the biosphere and living organisms. The less carbon-14 we can detect, the older the fossil. The fossils from before the flood will date much older than they really are, as they lack evident traces of carbon-14. Hence, these dates of millions and billions of years are wholly incorrect. The weight of the protective water layer increased the oxygen level by more than half. I quote, "Minute bubbles of ancient air trapped by successive flows of tree resin during the life of the tree are preserved in the amber. Analysis of the gases in these bubbles show that the Earth's atmosphere contained 35% oxygen compared to the present-day levels of 21%. Results are based on more than 300 analyses by the USGS scientists. The increased air pressure meant more oxygen got into the bloodstream. This, together with the protection against the UV and carbon-14 rays, meant better health and longer life. People, plants, and animals could live up to 10 times longer than what is possible today. This gave an amazing flora and fauna with huge subtropical vegetation and colossal animals. Seeing that the animals lived so much longer, the indeterminate reptiles and amphibians, such as monitor lizards, which continued to grow throughout their lifetime, grew gigantic in size. We have now called these creatures dinosaurs. Oxygen deprivation caused dinosaur extinction. According to Science Forum, the dinosaurs had relatively small lungs for their oversized bodies and did not survive because of lack of oxygen. When, after the flood, the oxygen levels dropped from 35 to 21%, the dinosaurs could not survive with their proportionally undersized lungs. Recent scientific research left scientists baffled, as it showed that the bone marrow of the dinosaur bones was soft tissue that had not fossilized. This shows that dinosaurs did not die out millions of years ago, but much more recently. Dr. Philip Kitchener, in his anti-creationist book Abusing Science, page 121, it says, "Solid evidence that dinosaurs and man coexisted would shake the foundations of the evolution theory." In 1908, George Adams discovered 14 giant human footprints, 2 feet each, besides 134 dinosaur footprints in the limestone of Biloxi Creek riverbed in Glen Rose, Texas. Professor Strahler writes in Science and Earth History, Evolution, Creation, Controversy, page 17, that if humans and dinosaurs lived at the same time, such a finding would deal a crushing blow to the widely favored hypothesis of a unique evolutionary sequence. a cave pictograph in the Amazon forest depicting a sauropod dinosaur with 9 hunters. One of the hunters is getting ready to strike, and the dinosaur is obviously alive. The rubidium strontium technique is for dating rocks and non-living matter. This is according to the amount of rubidium or strontium element found in the matter. Geologist Dr. Stephen Austin sampled basalt from the base of the Grand Canyon strata and from the lava that spilled over the edge of the canyon. By evolutionary reckoning, the latter should be at least a billion years younger than the basalt from the bottom. Standard laboratories analyzed the isotopes. The rubidium-strontium isochrone technique suggested that the recent lava flow was 270 million years older than the basalt from the base of the canyon. Well, that's an impossibility. In the study of the Grand Canyon rocks by Austin, different techniques gave different results. Again, all sorts of reasons can be suggested for bad dates, but this is posterior reasoning. Techniques that give results that can be dismissed just because they don't agree with what we already believe cannot be considered objective. In theory, the rubidium-strontium technique should work, but let's look at the facts. Over half a century ago, I was taught that the world was a guesstimated 40,000 years old. As years went by, it became millions of years, and in 2016, the Smithsonian Institute told us that it was 4.6 billion years old. However, now the age of the Earth became 13.8 billion years. This does not inspire confidence in the accuracy of the rubidium-strontium technique. Illogical complexities. Of course, anyone can develop a theory with complicated terminology on how scientifically misinformed we are and ridicule the Bible. And it all happened millions, no, billions of years ago when a dot smaller than this point on the page exploded. It will be written in a language that common people like you and me don't understand. So we stop reading. The evolution theory teaches us about the Garryalis curvirostris or the Paleoloxodon namadicus. Then there is the Dittimeritis trelioformis or the Ortis. And then there is other more complicated words which I can't really read. And the last one is the Australopithecus africanus or the African monkey, etc. So my question is, are we playing a hide-and-seek game in a maze of illogical, complicated, and not understandable vocabulary and theories? Dr. Albert Einstein said, if you cannot explain it to a six-year-old, then you don't understand it yourself. He also said, only two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not so sure about the universe. Seeing that we should question everything, there are a few more questions about carbon dating. The silicon fish was once known from fossils. It became extinct 65 million years ago. The silicon was again found alive in 1938. Then there's the frilled shark, lived an estimated 80 million years ago in the alleged Cretaceous period, when the Tyrannosaurus rex and the dinosaurs roamed the planet. It was rediscovered off the coast of Portugal in 2017. Professor Stephen Hawking, who died in 2018, is a cosmologist, a physicist, and an atheist. He lectured at the Georgia State University. He says, the remarkable fact that the values of these numbers seem to have been finally adjusted to make possible the development of life. The question remains, who or what finally adjusted these numbers to make life possible? Find the answer in the matrix of all matter. This reference information is taken from In the Beginning Then What by Johan Peters. It's a fiery court case in which both evolution and creation are presented. One critic referred to it as the book of the century. Several websites are trying to sell my books, but if you visit johanpeters.in, then all the downloads, 9 books, and pamphlets are 100% free downloads, with no strings attached, no cookies, no info requests. And if you take the time to write me, info@johanpeters.in, then I will take the time to answer.